22-year-old Nick found his way into my office the same way many of my young clients do, as part of a bargain struck with his parents to get them off his back. I'm a therapist who specializes in working with young people and their families, and as Nick sat across from me for the first time, we took the measure of each other. Nick was an attractive guy with a shock of brown hair and an easy smile, but that smile was wary as he began talking. "I'm here because my mom and dad think I'm a loser," he said. As a moderately successful high school student in an affluent inner-ring suburb, Nick had once had what seemed like a preordained path in life. High school to college to job, just like his parents. And Nick had tried college, but once he got there, his promising trajectory stalled, turning into a 9-month binge of partying and missed classes. After 2 semesters, he was placed on academic probation and required to take a leave of absence from university. Like many young people in similar circumstances, Nick moved back in with his parents, setting up an apartment for himself in the basement of their suburban home, ostensibly to ensure his privacy and simulate independence. His parents, initially frustrated and angry with Nick for his college flameout, resigned themselves to his change in status and committed to helping him get his new life on track. Initially, he showed resolve in managing his life responsibly. He was agreeable and helpful, and grateful for his parents' understanding and support. He found a part-time job at a hardware and garden store, which suited his interest in the outdoors and working with his hands. In short order, he was elevated from stocking shelves and loading heavy items to interacting with customers and advising them regarding lawn care products. His parents were encouraged, seeing this as an indication of initiative and ambition. By the time I met Nick, however, this was ancient history. The progress in his work life had stalled as he failed to expand his hours at the store or to find a second job. In evenings after work, he had established a second home at a neighborhood bar, reconnecting with friends from high school and settling in with tavern regulars. Nick often bought rounds for the house, a gesture that elevated his status and offered a sense of belonging in the bar's micro-society. "It's just like in Cheers," Nick confided to me with self-satisfaction. But while he was finding a sense of connection and belonging at the bar, Nick's relationship with his parents was deteriorating in predictable fashion. Since his work shifts started later in the day, Nick's drinking sessions extended late into the night. With increasing frequency, he came home in various states of inebriation and slept past noon. On occasion, he wouldn't come home at all, spending the night with his girlfriend, also a tavern regular. His household citizenship likewise deteriorated as his demeanor became increasingly reminiscent of the surly 16-year-old he had only recently been. "Honestly, he treats our home like a rooming house," his mother, Renee, confided with exasperation during my initial meeting with his parents. "Complete with a stocked refrigerator, kitchen privileges, and full maid and laundry service, he just takes everything we provide for granted." Nick's parents were good, solid people. His mother went back to work as her children left for college. His father owned and ran a successful small manufacturing business. Both of them devoted to the welfare and growth of their children, with an older son approaching college graduation and a younger daughter floating gracefully through 10th grade. But by the time we first met, concerning Nick, they were beside themselves with frustration. Renee was a worrier who couldn't stop herself from trying to be helpful in all sorts of ways. She offered suggestions about what Nick might do to improve his prospects and reminded him of opportunities and obligations as they approached. Nick's term for these ministrations was nagging, and his responses followed a predictable curve of escalating irritability and anger. Eventually, Nick and his parents had a series of ugly shouting matches, the outcome of which was an agreement that they jointly consult a therapist, me. Nick's father, Seth, was thoughtful and soft-spoken, and his approach to Nick's floundering was man-to-man and business-like. He periodically arranged appointments for the two of them to meet, often over lunch, where he would press Nick regarding his plans for the future, while offering ideas and suggestions. These meetings went well on the surface, but failed to generate any meaningful change in Nick's behavior. At his best, Nick conceded that his parents were doing their best to be helpful. At his worst, he saw them as intrusive and manipulative. Seth and Renee's barely concealed agenda was that Nick return to school, where he might learn a trade commensurate with his talents and interests. Landscape technology or turf grass management, perhaps. "We just want to see him doing something that leads to a more promising future," Renee explained. This seemed the logical way for Nick to escape his minimum wage job and the artificial bubble of his tavern-based social life. In early sessions with me, Nick periodically voiced resolution to move in a constructive direction. In fact, he had made some effort to break out of his rut. He had repeatedly asked for more hours at the store, but these were slow to materialize. For the most part, though, his focus was on his parents' attempts to manage his behavior. His attitude vacillated between a subdued concession that he was frustrated with his life and an unpersuasive confidence that he had everything figured out. One week, he would discuss, half-heartedly, his plans to research community college associate degree programs, and the next he would criticize his parents for not believing in him. He accepted that he needed to find a way to make and save money, with the objective of moving out, but his resolve was weak, and his words weren't leading to substantial action. Nick was stalled, and he wrestled with acknowledging it. His life path, just like his involvement in therapy, traced a circular loop of lip service and inaction, heading nowhere. "This isn't how I thought my son's life would turn out," said Seth. "It's like he's 22 going on 16. I want him to be financially secure. I want him to have a home of his own. I want him to have a partner and a family of his own someday. But first, I have to get him out of my basement."